So we've been talking about building for a while now. If you guys remember, we began this year by this theme of building. I gave you on January 1st, was the first Sunday of the year, and I gave you all a building block. I gave you all a block that had ONC on it, and the encouragement was to be praying for our church and to be reminded that you are a part of what God is doing here, and that's really how it started. And then God kind of just gave me some more ideas as we went through the months. We started writing on the different sides of the blocks. And we've been doing that for the last several months and figuring out what God wants us to do. And I've gone through that several times. We'll do it again just because we're there. That Jesus Christ is our foundation, right? He's underneath us. He's supporting us. We're built on the rock, right? And so Jesus, it's all about him. That's always the Sunday school answer. Every kid that grows up going to church, Jesus. That's always the right answer. Jesus. Then behind us is ONC. That's the one that's supporting us, the church. I want you to know that you're supported, that you come here not because you're just supposed to do things here, that you have a support, you have a family, you have a body of Christ here that believes in you and is supporting you and praying for you. I want this church to be that for you. Then you have in front of you where you are called, where you are ministering God's love and grace to other people, where whatever it be, as I've given lots of different examples of what you can be doing, people going to Belize, that could be there, all these different things. What has God called you to do, and where is your hands being, the hands and the feet of God? Then on the sides, I always get confused when I'm up here. I got to remember my motions, that this is your right, this is your left. So under your, I get this confused even when I do this. Good golly. Under your left, right, is who you're submitting to, right? Who you're submitting to and who you're coming under. And that you realize that as we went through Nehemiah, we went through all these things, that there's got to be spiritually fathers and mothers in your life, people that are speaking to you, the people that you're coming to get advice and gleaning from, that you need a pastor, you need all these different people in your life to help you. And who is that? And who are you coming to? It could even be the president. It could be your government, people that you need to submit to. Even though you might not agree with them, you need to submit to them and love them and pray for them. Those types of things. Then on the other side, on your right, who you are discipling, who you are taking under your wing, that you're saying, I need to pray for them. I need to help obey God's great commission, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Who are you responsible for? Saying, follow me as I follow Christ. We all need to have a disciple. We all need to have people that we're bringing under our wing. And then finally, throughout the months, we finally got to the top. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you, and that Jesus gave the church gifts. And we've been talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry. We're going through those, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that I want you to figure out what ministry that God has called you to, what type of ministry. And I shared with you a while ago that I'm going to give you a website if you want to go to and kind of take a little test to find out where your natural traits are, your personality traits that God's created you to be. I'm not going to give it to you again today. It's coming. Don't worry. It's going to be after VBS. But today is a very significant day. Today, we're in June. We're halfway done with the year. So we started this year off talking about building. We've spent all these several months talking about all the different sides. You've been writing on different sides. We're done writing on our own personal blocks that you have at your home. You're going to keep those blocks. You can do whatever you want with them. You can throw them away by the end of the year, whatever you want. Keep them until the next 6 months. But we finished writing on all those blocks. Hopefully you're not finished praying and keep using those as an opportunity to be praying for the church, praying for yourself, praying for the people on you, all those things. But today we're transitioning from writing something on our own personal blocks to writing something on a corporate church block, that these blocks are staying here at the church, that where do you belong in the church? To me, this is a very significant day that we're transitioning from just focusing on our own personal individual lives, now transitioning, how are we going to build the church? How are not just God that wants to build us, Ephesians chapter 4, right? All these gifts that Christ gave were for the building and edifying of the saints, equipping the saints. That's the whole purpose. You come to church, I want you to be equipped. But the reason is that you're equipped for ministry, to build the church, to build his kingdom. We sang that song, right? Build your kingdom here. That's what we're supposed to be busy about. Busy about our Father's business. That's what Jesus said. And so I want us today, we're going to end the service with us writing our name on the block. If you call this your home church, I want you to write your name on one of the blocks. Obviously, there's 300 blocks back there, roughly 100 in each letter. And we have about 150 people that call this their home church that are members. And on purpose, I did 300 because the challenge for you is that we're halfway through the year. That this is the year that God, really, this is not something that I just came up with. I hope you're seeing this. This is something that God gave me. This is the word of the Lord, that this is the year to build at Osmond Neighborhood Church. This is the year to build. And so we've got 6 months. I'm giving you a challenge, and I do it because I have kids, and they're the only ones competitive in my house, just my kids, not me. I don't know where they get it from. Their mother, I don't know. But they're competitive. And if I want my kids to do something, I got to challenge them. I got to say, all right, if you can do this in the next 10, you know, even cleaning their room. All right, let's see who can pick up 30 pieces and put them away in the next 60 seconds. Ready, set, go. And if I do it that way, man, my boys are going like crazy. If I just tell them, hey, go clean your room, they just sit there and stare at me. But if I give them a challenge, and man, it's a competition between their brothers, they're going to go for it. And I get that. None of you in this room are competitive, right? But I'm not doing it for that reason. I believe it is the Lord, but I do want it to be a fun thing. I do want it to be something that you're taking on this challenge, that each one of you, if there's 150 of us, each one of you are responsible to bring someone else into the body of Christ. You're responsible for one other person to graft into this body, that you're to go evangelize, you're to go disciple, you're to do these things. And my goal is not to go steal people from other churches. That's not my goal. My goal is to bring people into this church, though. It's not just, yes, hopefully we're all sharing the gospel everywhere we go, and people are coming to know the Lord because of who we are. But this challenge is to bring people into this church, into the fold, into the body of Christ, into this congregation. And so I want you to take that challenge seriously. I want you to realize you got 6 months, and I know building can look lots of different ways. My number one goal is not to increase the numbers in this church. That's not my number one goal, but it is a goal in building this church, is I do want to increase in numbers. I believe God wants to increase the numbers in this church. And so part of this is, it is a challenge. And I want you to be able to say by the end of this year, in the next 6 months, that you stewarded the word of the Lord. That you have to believe that what I'm telling you is the word of the Lord first. I mean, for me, if you just think it's just my own personal thing and I'm trying to shove something on you, then okay, then don't go for it. But if you really believe that this is a word from the Lord that your pastor is giving to you, I want you to own it. I want you to receive it. I want you to steward that word. God, I'm going to be responsible. I want by the end of this year that I heeded your word, that I did something about it, that I've been inviting. And I'm serious. I'm talking to my own kids. I talked to my son last night, and he's starting to bring kids from his school and doing things. And I said, you know what? You're in on the challenge. He's going to write his name on one of those blocks. I want by the end of the year that you bring a friend, that they begin considering this church, not they just visit this church once in a while, but you bring a whole family, that as you bring your friend, that whole family is going to come to this church. And that's what VBS is. I get it. That's not the number one goal, is to have VBS and try to sucker people into our church. No, that's not the number one goal. But that is a desire. There are people that attend this church because of what we do at VBS. It is an outreach to our community. And so I want you to start seeing things as you go through your life, as you go through these next days and weeks and months ahead of us. Have that challenge. I'm responsible to bring at least one more person to this church. And so I encourage you, we're going to end the service, as I said. We're going to end the service. There's going to be some Sharpies in the back. You can pick any of the three letters you want. You can pick any block you want. Write on the front, on the face. Find an empty one. If someone wrote the name on that block, don't write on that same block. Find another block to write your name on. You can do a cursive signature where no one can read it but you. You can print your name. You can write your initials. However you want to put your name on a block, go for it. So we're going to be ending the service doing that. I'll encourage people. I know there's some people that aren't here today. We're going to have this available as the weeks and months go on to keep doing that. So more on that, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same. Everyone understanding the challenge? Everyone understands what we're doing at the end of the service? All right, good. All right, that's part of my message, but that was really just kind of opening up. So let me get my sermon opened up. I thought it was opened up. Here we go. All right, so we're going to look at three different passages this morning. If you want to grab a Bible, you want to get your phone ready, whatever you want to do, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. So we're going to be looking at those three different places in the Bible. And you can try to turn there, put markers in there if you want. Otherwise, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you anyways. But I want you to know where we're going, so if you want to take notes. So we're starting off in Nehemiah chapter 2. If you remember, this is how we started off the whole first year. For the first several months, we were reading through different chapters, and I was highlighting different things, and that's how we got a lot of the sides of our blocks, was reading through Nehemiah. And to me, one of the most significant passages that we read through in Nehemiah, I wanted to read to you again, is in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And before I read this, let me do a quick recap so you remember where we're at. Nehemiah was living life. He was living in the palace, had a great job, a cush job, working for the king, had everything he wanted. Really, it was, man, everyone would have loved to have been Nehemiah. But he was burdened. God burdened his heart to go back to Jerusalem, to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. that there had been, if you go back history even further, that Israel had been living in the promised land in Jerusalem, and they began to disobey God, and God kept warning them, sending all kinds of prophets, you guys better stop, all right, the enemy's going to come, and you're going to be exiled. Sure enough, that's what happened. They were exiled to Babylon or Assyria. And for generations and generations, they were out of the promised land. And then God said, all right, now it's time to return. And there was this return of people coming back to the promised land. And as they were coming to Jerusalem, they tried to build the walls, they tried to rebuild the city, they tried to do different things, but it just wasn't working. And things were just in disarray, things were burnt down, everyone was discouraged, people were coming back, but no one was really still really serving the Lord, really doing things God's way. And Nehemiah gets a report of this. He hears that, man, nothing's really happening in Jerusalem. And he's just burdened, God, I've got to go do something about this. And so he goes and he talks to the king. And he says, my heart is just heavy. I've got to go back and help build the walls. And the king blesses him and says, all right, I'll give you favor and I'll give you all the things, the money you need, the finances, I'll back you, I'll send soldiers to go with you. And so Nehemiah shows up in Jerusalem. He gets all the people together. He unifies the people and he inspires them to begin working. Every single person, man, woman, child, all of them begin working on the wall. And so this is where you see Nehemiah coming in. He just explained what's going on to the people. And this is in verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. All right, so I want to take out three little passages in those two verses. The first thing is Nehemiah shows up and he says, come, let us build. And he speaks that over to the people. It's his first thing that he begins to speak to the people. And he says that. And so I'm not comparing myself to Nehemiah in a sense, in lots of ways. But in a sense, God has burdened my heart as the pastor of Osby River Church to come before the people and say, it's time to build. Come, let us build. And he says, the hand of my God is upon me. And the king, this is what the king has said, and he shares all the things that the king has said. But he says, my God is upon me. And I love that he says, my God is up on me. My God is up on me. He says that, and we're talking about the very end, my series, that we're trying to wrap up my series, is to top it off, the top of the block. And we talked about last week, Pentecost Sunday, how the Holy Spirit had to come upon people in order to empower them to do ministry. And so it's the same thing. Nehemiah says, my God is up on me. He's upon me and he's anointed me. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel, to the good news to the poor, right? To heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. It's the same message. And I feel like when I first was going to say this, it sounded almost to me like it'd be arrogance. But really, it's in my humility, in me serving the Lord and saying, all right, God, you've called me to a place of leadership that I didn't want, but I'm being obedient to. That I feel like I can stand before you this morning and with boldness declare, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he has anointed me. I'm not saying that with arrogance or pride. I'm saying that because I believe that many of you in this room need to be able to say that too. That you need to be able to say that with sincerity, with the truth of God's word, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me. That I'm not only saved, I'm called. And that there's a purpose. That's what we're teaching these kids as they're coming, that God not only created you, he created you for a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. Not just on this planet, there's a reason why you're in this church. God has a purpose for you in this church, and he's anointed you. He's up on you for a reason. He wants to build with you, with your hands, with your feet. Are you able to say that this morning? I know, for me, it took a while to get there. But I would love for us to be a church where every single one of us are in a place of, maybe not comfortable, maybe is the wrong word, because there's still a level of uncomfortability when I say it. But it's the truth of God's word. It's what the truth of what God is saying to me. So I have to be obedient. I have to believe that God, Pastor Matt was sharing on Wednesday night with those of us that were here. He's saying that we've got to believe, we've got to receive, and we've got to speak. It's important that we speak it out. So to me, this isn't me just trying to be in front of you, trying to puff up my authority. No, this is me being obedient before the Lord this morning, telling you that I believe it and I receive the anointing that God's given me and I will speak it out. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And He has anointed me to preach, to heal, to set the captives free, and to build. This is not my thinking. This is not something that I just came up with, a cute idea. Let's see, what should we do this year? What should the theme be? And I came up with it. No, this is the word of the Lord for Osmond Neighbor Church, that we are to build. And as much as I may not feel like it, and I may not think it in my own flesh, I have to line myself up with God's word. All right, God, you said it's time to build, and you made me the leader. So I'm going to say it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And some of you, I'm just going to give you an option to say it right now. If you believe that the Spirit of God is upon you, I feel like you're supposed to speak it out. This wasn't in my notes, but I feel like we're supposed to go there. So I'm going to say it again, and I want you to repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He's anointed me to build His kingdom. Amen. So this is what Nehemiah says. Come, let us build. He's rallying the people together. He tries to unify them and to inspire them. That's part of my job as your pastor, is to bring us together in unity and to inspire, to be a coach, and to get you excited about what God wants to do. But then he says that, all right, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then the people reply, and they say in verse 18, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. And that's what I had you guys repeat in the very beginning of the year, and kind of we just did that right now. They replied, they said, all right, we believe what you're saying, Nehemiah. We receive that it's from the Lord, and we're now going to speak it out. We're going to build. Nehemiah said, I'm coming to build. And they replied, they said, all right, we believe you, we receive it, and now we speak it out. We're going to build with you. Let us arise up and build. And so there was something they had to speak out that's important. But then the next verse, the very end of this verse, it says, then they set their hands to this good work. It's this last thing that's important too. You've got to believe what I'm telling you. You've got to receive what the Lord has for you. You've got to speak it out and declare it. And hear your, to me, this is important that you hear this. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, right? There's lots of times where I have to build up my own faith. How do I do that? Faith comes by hearing. All right, so I've got to speak it out. I've got to speak the word of the Lord that He's spoken to me. I've got to speak it out so that my own ears can hear it, because faith comes by hearing. So when I don't feel like what God's saying, when I don't see what God's doing, all these thoughts, all these emotions are contrary to what God's word says, I've got to speak it out regardless of whether I feel it or not. Because faith comes by hearing. I've got to speak it out. I'm never going to build unless I believe and I have faith to believe that God really is going to build Osmond Neighbor Church. I've got to have the faith. All right, now it says they believed it. They spoke it out. Now it says they set their hands to do the good work. They actually did it. They weren't hearers only. They became doers of the word. And that's my challenge to you. I don't want you to leave this morning or the end of this year thinking this was a cute, quaint, fun little thing we did, writing our names on a block, and hopefully, maybe, wishfully thinking, maybe all these names will be filled in, and maybe God will build something in a little way at Osborne. No. I'm giving you a challenge to put your hands to the plow and say, God, this is your word. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take on the responsibility of the calling that you placed in my life and that you put me here in this church for a reason, so I'm going to go for it. And so it's important. I got to move on because I got lots more points to say. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. As I'm going there, I just saw something else in my notes. As you're turning there, I'm going to read to you Sunday school trivia. We're having the kids coming, vacation Bible school. Does anybody know the very first words that God spoke to mankind? Genesis 1:28. It says that He created man, male and female. In His image, He created them. And in Genesis 1:28, the first words He spoke to mankind was, be fruitful and multiply. You are commanded by God Himself, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Maker of you. You are commanded to multiply. It's a command. It's the very first command God ever gave. The first words that God ever spoke to mankind. Be fruitful and multiply. I'm not going to multiply unless I'm being fruitful. I'm not going to be fruitful unless I bear the image of my Creator. They're all connected. If I am honestly and accurately representing my Creator, I will multiply. It's the result. God is a God who multiplies. That's who He is. If I reflect Him in my image, if I know who I am in Christ, if I know who I am in Christ, and I know who Christ is in me, multiplication is going to happen. The gospel is going to go forth. The good news is going to come out. Kindness is going to come out. The fruit of the Spirit is going to come out. If I know who I am in Christ and I know who Christ is in me, that fruit of the Spirit is going to come out. And because fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things are coming out of me, it's going to multiply. The kingdom of God is going to multiply. It's just going to happen. And I want us to look at another verse in 1 Peter 2 that kind of represents that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Let me get there. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Actually, I'm going to read it in the NIV. It says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. We're going to stop there. A lot being said there. As you come to Him, the living stone. Who's the living stone? Jesus. All right, you got the answer. What's the right answer in Sunday school? Jesus. He's the living stone. He's the rock of our salvation. But I love that it says living. Because in nature, plants grow, right? And there's things, there's animals live and die, but rocks, they're not alive, right? Rocks are these dead, inanimate objects. But God's word is saying that no, Christ is the living stone. He's the rock that we're built on, but He's alive. He's living. And then He goes on to say that we, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. That you and I, you heard that Jesus told Peter, you're the rock, you're Petros. I'm going to build my church upon you. He's saying the same thing to us, that we are these living stones. We're these living rocks that He wants to build upon us. And now He's giving this example that we're actually living stones, that He's going to place us on top of each other, connect us and build with us, that you and I are the building blocks that Jesus is building the church with. We're the living stones. That's how He builds the church, is through you and me, living stones. And so I want us to look at this living stones in a second, but really quickly, if you look at this passage, it says, as we come to Him, the living stones, we, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. If you take out the whole thing of living stones for a second, we're going to talk about that in a second. It says, as we come to Him, we are being built into a spiritual house. As we come to Him, we are being built into a spiritual house. How do we get built up? How do we build Osmeyburg Church? How do we build the kingdom of God? As we come to Him, He builds. Unless the Lord builds the house, he that labors, labors in vain. How do we build Osmeyburg Church? It's by striving, by trying new programs, by implementing these things and trying really hard on our own to do this? No. As we come to Him. As we come to Him. As we come to Him. We're being built up. This is true in your spiritual walk with the Lord. If you feel like you're deteriorating, you feel like your life is falling apart, if you feel like your spiritual walk is weak and apathetic, He's not one who condemns. You heard Pastor Greg say, He doesn't condemn. He's full of mercy. He loves us. He wants to discipline us, but He's going to do that as we come to Him. As we come to Him, He's going to build us up. If you're lacking peace, come to Him. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to Me. I'll give you rest. It's this idea as we come to Him, as we become lovers of His presence, as we become people, a people of God that just learn how to come to Him. Come to Him. He's going to build this church. I get it. We have a responsibility. I don't want us to be one without the other. We bear a responsibility. At the same time, if we're trying to do it on our own, he that labors, labors in vain if it's not the Lord building it. And so that's important that we get that as we come to Him. This idea of living stones. I love that God's word uses living stones. Who here has ever built something, done construction work? Built, yeah? All right. Who here has actually built with cinder block or bricks before? All right. Who here's actually ever built with rocks or flagstones or stonework? That's very different than working with blocks, right? Bricks, as you keep reading this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Anyone that's ever built a cinder block wall or built with bricks, you know that that cornerstone, the very first corner piece that you lay down, is the most important piece. If it's crooked, the whole thing's going to be crooked. If it's not level, the whole thing's not going to be level. You've got to work so diligently, so hard to get that chief cornerstone in place. And as it's in place, then everything else actually becomes pretty easy. Because bricks, they're all the same size. They're all the same shape. You just put one on top of the other. You just grab any one from the pile and put it on top. But anyone that's worked with stones or rocks, you know that they're different shapes, different sizes. It's not always easy. You don't just grab one from the pile willy-nilly and just put the next one on top. You've got to find the right one that has the right shape that fits just perfectly, and then find the next one to go on top of that that fits just perfectly. I love God's word. He on purpose didn't say we're living bricks. We're living stones. That we are all like Jesus. He is the living stone. But we all represent Christ in different ways. My own four kids, they bear my DNA. There's things that they look like Jen and I in different ways. They're like us. At the same time, they're very different than me. I love the fact that my youngest son, Ezra, he's the most like me. I can see it. He'll just get a little twinkle in his eye. I know exactly what he's thinking. He doesn't just say a word. I know what he's thinking. My daughter, on the other hand, I have no idea what she's thinking most of the time. But Ezra, I love that about him. He's not my favorite. They're all my favorite. But there's something about Ezra that it is fun for me to watch how he makes decisions, how he does things, because I'm like, I know right what he's going to do before he does it. At the same time, it's been fun this year. As he did kindergarten this year, there's things that he's doing that, man, I never did that. I love seeing the uniqueness of Ezra, that he's not exactly like his dad. He's different. And you know what? Each one of us, we're living stones. We represent Christ. Christ is full. He's got everything. And each one of us, we can't be exactly like Christ in all areas. That's why he gave the gifts. We're talking about Ephesians 5, right? Some to be apostles, not everybody. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. That we're all different. And I want us to understand that, to enjoy and to value the uniqueness of how each one of us express Christ and how we worship Christ. My desire is not to be a church where we're all exactly the same. That's not Christ's desire. Right? You read 1 Corinthians 12, how we're all the body of Christ. Some's the hand, some's the finger, some's an ear, a foot. We're all different parts. God's word makes it very clear. So I want you to understand, as we're building this church, I want you to be unique. I want you to have your own fingerprint. I want you to have your own DNA in what you bring to this church. If we were all like me, this church is not going to be built very good. We've got to be different living stones of Christ. And I want us to understand that the unity, this was in prayer over and over again, how good it is when we dwell together in unity and praise the Lord, where we understand our different qualities, our different gifts, and we're saying, I value that. It's not how I would do it. Sometimes it frustrates me, but man, I love how they have excellence in that area. I love that about that person. I love that about, and we're looking at the good in others. Really quick, I don't have time to go through this a lot. I tell you, I listen to Dennis Prager on talk radio every once in a while. Dennis Prager has this theory. He calls it the missing tile syndrome. When you walk into an office building, you know the drop tile ceiling, those tiles, that if you go into a big office building, there's hundreds and hundreds of tiles, and there's three of them throughout the whole office that are missing. What are you going to look at first? The missing ones, right? You're going to keep looking at, man, it drives you nuts. It's missing that tile. It's just, it's going to drive you nuts. And too many of us, we do that in our own lives. We see things that are missing. We do this in the church. Man, well, once this happens, then we could build the church. If God would just bring this other person from outside the church into this church, then we could build. We keep looking at what's missing, and God's saying, no, would you look at who's around you? Would you look around in the room? God has blessed this church incredibly. Amen. And he wants to build, and he wants to use you. Stop looking at what we don't have. Stop focusing on the things that are negative. Stop focusing on all the things that are right, all the good things. Start thanking him. And it's amazing how God's grace is there. All right. Yeah, I got to move on. Quickly, turn to Zechariah. Zechariah. So really quick, as you're turning to Zechariah chapter 4, it's one of the last books of the Old Testament. This prophet, this writing, was taking place around the same time as Nehemiah. The people were coming back from being exiled, and they were building the walls. Nehemiah was building the walls. Ezra was trying to get people to worship the Lord. And Zerubbabel, which is a fun word to say, Zerubbabel was the governor appointed by which king it was, that was ruling the whole world. He appointed Zerubbabel to be the governor. And he was a Jewish man, but he was to report back to the king. And Zerubbabel was in charge of the city of Jerusalem. And so Zechariah is spending time with the Lord, and the Lord gives him this prophecy. He says, go speak to Zerubbabel. Go tell him this. This is what's going on. They're trying to build the temple. And they've been trying for generations. Generations of people have already returned back from being exiled. They're living in Jerusalem, and they put forth an effort to build the temple, and barely any progress was made. That whole generation died. Another generation began to try to do some things. The finances weren't there. The skilled workers weren't there. The people's motivation wasn't there. And people weren't coming. So Zerubbabel took on this, and he knew that generations past, they weren't being successful. And Zerubbabel didn't have much hope. He's like, oh man, all right, we'll keep working in the temple, but there's no way it's going to get finished in my lifetime. And so Zechariah is told, go speak this word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. I love those two verses. I don't have time to go in all of it, but I love that it's saying it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit. It's not by God, by us trying to get more finances. It's not by us trying to get some people outside the church to help build this or do that. It's by his spirit. It's not by what I have or the qualities, the abilities that I have as a pastor that we're going to build this church. It's not by that. It's by his spirit, says the Lord. And I love that it says the very next line, who are you, O great mountain? There are difficulties. The reality is, there's a lot of difficulties. There's a lot of obstacles for us to double in size at Austin Neighborhood Church. There's a lot of obstacles for God to do things in your life. What mountains are there in your life where it just seems impossible? You've been praying for a long time. Maybe it's a prodigal son. Maybe it's something in your life where you've just been praying. You've been praying. You've been praying. And you're worn out. You want to give up. You're discouraged. What is that mountain that's before you that says, man? And the word of the Lord to you this morning is, who do you think you are, O mountain? Amen. Before Zerubbabel, you're going to be like a plane. Yeah. How? How does that happen? The very next verse, the very next line. By shouts of grace, grace to it. The Zerubbabel, he didn't have to be encouraged and propped up and say, no, Zerubbabel, you're such a good governor. You can do this. You can do this well. No, he was told, no, the word of the Lord is, it's by his spirit. And the word of the Lord is as you speak it out, as you shout and declare grace to it, God will perform it. What is grace? It's God's undeserved favor, God's undeserved goodness, his grace, his blessing. It's things that we can't earn. That's what grace is. How do we get salvation? It's the free gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. How are we saved? By the grace of God. That's how we're saved. How do we perform? How do we have the Spirit of the Lord God come upon us? By his grace. How do we walk out what he's called us to do that's impossible? By grace. I'm telling you, that this word came to me, I'm guessing about 2 months ago. I was getting discouraged. I just found, for the church and my own personal situations in life, there wasn't this huge thing where I was just walking around depressed all day long, but there was things where I felt that the enemy was just gnawing at me. And I was starting to get discouraged in certain areas. And my hope wasn't as great as it used to be. I still had hope, but it was definitely taking some knocks. And when I read this word, I knew it was from the Holy Spirit, and it just brought so much encouragement to me. That every time that thought came into my mind, where the enemy wanted to bring discouragement, to bring doubt, to bring me down, I just began to say, no, grace! Grace to it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how God's going to perform a miracle. I have no idea how it's going to happen. But I shout grace to it. I just covered in grace, God's grace. I don't know what to do, but God's grace all over it. I began to pray over people that way. Not maybe verbally over them, but as in situations when I was just praying for some of you, I just say, God, your grace all over that situation. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what wisdom I need. I shout your grace, God, your grace all over it. Some of you need to do that in your life. And some of it is declaring it and having your faith being built up as you just shout grace. Grace. And so I want, as we end the service, we're going to end a little differently today. We're not going to have people up front to begin with to pray with. Daniel's not going to come up front. We're going to play a song that we played a zillions of times here. But I want you, as we go sign our names on those blocks, I want you to declare grace. As you see 300 empty blocks, God, how are you going to double our church? How are you going to build the church? How are you going to do different things? Just shout grace to it. Really, I'm serious. Would you mind saying grace as we write our names on those blocks? I'll give you direction is what we're going to do. But I want you, as you write your name, Just to say that, to declare it out loud, grace, God, grace over this church. And we're going to end like I said, I feel like today is a big transition. Today is an important day. Some of you, when I was preaching, when I'm sharing the word of the Lord, there's things in your life that feel like there are mountains. They feel like there's different things. And you should just shout grace to it, not be discouraged. To put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's a choice. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. It's God's word. You don't have to feel like it. I will never tell you have to feel like it. You never have to have the thoughts. You just have to line yourself up. What does God's word say? What are his promises? It's hard for me to believe that right now, but I choose to believe it. I choose to receive that and appropriate it for my own life, for my own situation. And so I'm going to declare it and say, speak it. God, this is your word. And I declare it over my situation. I shout grace over this situation. And let the faith arise.